الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Views of Mahdi Channel. There are many benefits and rewards of sending peace and blessings upon the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. According to one narration, it is stated, whosoever recites durood o salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower 10 blessings upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today we will listen to one aspect of the great Imam's life, and the aspect today that I want to touch upon is, we know he was a great lover of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know he was a great poet, bade shair the. We know that he was a great commentator on the Holy Quran. He even wrote the translation of the Quran. We all know the famous translation of the Quran, Kanzul Iman, which I request all the people to, if they want to read the translation of the Quran, then Kanzul Iman is the translation you would want to read. But today, the aspect that I want to touch on of the great Imam is his expertise, his greatness, and his level of excellency, and his status and maqam in the science of hadith. Say subhanallah. The great Imam and his connection with the hadith, the blessed sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his service to this field. We know that he was an Imam who was a master in many sciences. But if you look into the science of hadith, there are many names that come to our mind, and you know they are great in their own ranks. But when you look at the life of Imam Ahlus Sunnah, Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, and how his expertise was in the science of hadith, and how a great master he was in hadith, and what title he was given by the great masters of hadith of his time, then we will come to realize how great an Imam he was in this particular science as well. To begin with, what is a hadith? Let's understand what a hadith is by its definition given to us by the ulama. A hadith are primarily the words, the statements of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or the blessed states of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So three things the ulama have said that this is a hadith: the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blessed actions are a hadith, and his blessed conditions and states are a hadith. But some ulama have gone one step further and said that even the statements of the Sahaba, the Sahaba Ikram, their sayings and their statements, and the Tabi'een, those who followed the Sahaba, the next generation, they have been also called hadith, their statements. And there's a whole science with regards to hadith. This science itself, there's so many, you can say, subcategories of this main science of hadith. And there are different titles given to people who attain specialities and their expertise in this particular science of hadith. Now, I just want to mention a few terms, and then I'm going to tell you what rank Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman had in the science of hadith. One title which is given to people in this science of hadith, it is Muhaddith. A Muhaddith. Another title which is given to somebody in this science of hadith is Hafizul Hadith. Someone who's memorized a huge amount of the statements and the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is Hafizul Hadith. Like we have Hafizul Quran. Someone who is a Hafiz of the hadith is the one who has memorized the blessed sayings, hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you have a title called Sheikhul Hadith. The Sheikh the teacher of hadith. And then you have another title, which is Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, the leader of the believers in the science of hadith. And our great Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, he was given this rank, Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, the leader of all the believers in the science of hadith. This was his rank. This is the highest rank. And how do we come to know this? That when we look in the lifetime of the great Imam, the great ulama of his time, the great muhaddiseen of his time, those who were known for this science of hadith, who spent their whole life, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, teaching the science of hadith, when they were asked regarding the great Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, they would say that he is Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. He is the leader of the believers in the hadith. Why? Because remember, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam are the words of the Prophet. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say regarding the words of the Prophet, the words that come out of the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. And he does not, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak or say anything of his own desire. He doesn't say anything out of his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. It is not but a revelation which is sent down upon him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, it's not from his own mind, rather it is a revelation sent down to him. So the blessed words, the hadith, the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they carry so much sweetness that when these great imams and these great scholars of hadith, they would want to feel that sweetness, they would want to taste that sweetness, they would dive deep into the blessed hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would learn and study the blessed hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would teach and convey the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is what the great Imam, when we look at his life and how he dived deep into this ocean of hadith, the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we realize there are three aspects. Number one, his expertise, his excellence, his status, yani the way he understood hadith, the way he could derive rulings from hadith, and how much extensive study he had done in different books of hadith, how much books of hadith he actually studied. Today someone asks us, do you know any names of the books of hadith? So something like Sahih Bukhari comes to our mind, Sahih Muslim comes to our mind, and that's about it. After that we don't know any more names of the books of hadith. Lakin these questions were asked to Imam as well. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan was asked, how many books of hadith have you learned, have you studied, or have you read? And when the great Imam was asked, listen very, very carefully. Look at his level of expertise in the hadith. It says that the great Imam, he was asked, how much books of hadith have you studied? And he responded by saying, over 50 books of hadith have been a part of my learning, teaching and studying. Subhanallah. 50 books of hadith. And we still can't really understand this. Now let me explain this a bit more further. He mentioned a few books at the beginning. He says Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Sunan Abi Dawood, Sunan Tirmizi, Sunan Nasai, Sunan Ibn Majah. The Imam is mentioning these books. These are the famous books. He continues mentioning books and he gets to the names of 31 books. 31 books he has mentioned. And in the end he says, in a humble manner, over 50 books have been a part of my learning, teaching and studying. This is his study of the hadith. Now, this is hard to understand. Let me elaborate further on this. From this you will understand the excellence of the Imam. How much of a genius and expert he was in the science of hadith. How much extensive study he had of the hadith. The meaning of 50 books is 1,000 of pages. There are countless ahadith. Let's look at Sahih Bukhari for example. Sahih Bukhari alone, this one book of hadith, is 1,823 pages, almost 2,000 pages, right? Then you've got Sahih Muslim, almost 1,157 pages. And in Sahih Bukhari, it's got more than 7,000 ahadith, subhanAllah, more than 7,000 hadith. Sahih Muslim, there's more than 3,000 hadith. Then you got Sunan Abi Dawood, it's got 820 pages. That's got more than 5,000 hadith. Sunan Tirmizi, these are the main books of hadith. It's got 884 pages, almost 4,000 hadith. Sunan Nasai, that's got about 905 pages and about 6,000 hadith. Sunan Ibn Majah, the 705 pages. These are the main six books of hadith. It's got more than 4,000 hadith. Now, in this way, when only 20 of these 50 collections of hadith were considered in terms of volume, in terms of pages, in terms of hadith, that, listen very carefully now, the total was found to be 49 volumes, almost 30,000 pages, and almost 140,000 ahadith. This is the extensive study that the great Imam had, over 140,000 ahadith, and that's only 20 of the books, just 20 ahadith collections. Now how many were under the study of Ala Hazrat? Was he only 20? He mentioned 50. Listen very, very carefully. The ulama, they took time out. They did a research on the great work of the Imam. And when they did research, they realized, they looked at 350 books. 350 books of the great Imam. The ulama got together, a panel was set, and they were doing a research. What did they do? 350 books of the great Imam. They got them, they looked at all the ahadith which have been mentioned in the book, in the books of the great Imam, 350 books. When they worked it out, they realized that there's about 10,000 ahadith mentioned by the great Imam. 10,000 ahadith mentioned by the great Imam in these books. So when they traced the references of all of these ahadith, 10,000 they found in 350 books, when they looked back at the original source and the original reference of these books, they realized that just in these 350 books of the Imam, where there's 10,000 ahadith, they look back at the original source, they realize that this goes back to 400 books of ahadith. Allah. He said over 50 books of ahadith, but the Imam is quoting and referencing 10,000 ahadith, and when you go back to the original source, you realize that there are almost 400 books of ahadith, and this was only a research carried out on the Imam's 350 books. Now if you look deeper, how many books did the great Imam actually write? How many books did he actually author? They say the great Imam, he actually wrote more than 1,000 books. Allahu Akbar. More than 1,000 books. This research was only carried out only on 350 of his books. Imagine how much hadith would have been quoted in all of those 1,000 books. How many references of hadith would have been given. From this you can understand how he was given the title of Amirul Mu'mineen fil hadith. And this is why there was a great muhaddith of his time. Who was he? He was by the name Muhaddith Wasi Ahmad Surti, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He was a scholar in the same time of Imam Ahli Sunnah. And he was non-ordinary scholar. He was a great muhaddith himself. 40 years. 40 years he taught the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he memorized the whole of Sahih Bukhari off by heart. He was a hafiz of Sahih Bukhari. This is the great Imam that I'm talking about now. And he had a student. His student was Sayyid Muhammad Ashrafi Miyan. Sayyid Muhammad Ashrafi Miyan. And he was a great scholar of his own time. He became known as, his title became afterwards as Muhaddisi Azam Hind, the Muhaddis of India. This is the student of this individual I'm talking about. His teacher was Muhaddisi Wasi Ahmad Surti Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, who taught hadith for 40 years. He was a hafiz of Sahih Bukhari. His student Ashrafi Miyan asked him, said, "Oh master, oh my teacher, you mention Imam Ahmad Raza Khan quite often. What is the reason behind this?" This is a student asking his great teacher. And his great teacher has been teaching for 40 years, hadith. He's a hafiz of Sahih Bukhari. And he's been asked, he's asking his teacher about the great Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatul rahman. "Oh master, you mention Imam Ahmad Raza Khan a lot. What is the reason for this?" So he says that when the muhaddis responded, his eyes first were filled with tears. And he said that my family and I were already Muslims. But ever since I began meeting the great Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, I have experienced the sweetness of faith. It is such that I continue to soothe my heart with the remembrance of the one through whom my heart has received the sweetness of faith. So that's why I keep on mentioning the great Imam, because it brings the sweetness of faith to me. And then he was asked by his student, "Oh master, is Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman your equal? Is he the same as you? Does he have the same rank as you? Does he hold the same status as you in the science of hadith?" Now this is a student asking his teacher. His teacher is a great master of hadith, 40 years been teaching, Hafiz of Sahih Bukhari, a great scholar with thousands of students. His own student was given the title Muhaddis-i-Azam Hind. His student is asking him, "Is Imam Ahmad Raza Khan your equal in the science of hadith?" Listen to his response. This great teacher, he says, "No, not at all. Oh my prince, did you understand the meaning of my saying? Not at all. Listen, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, you say, is he my equal? No, he is Amirul Mu'mineen fil hadith. If I spent many years studying the science of hadith and became his student, even then I will not reach the level of his feet." This is the great Imam of his time, 40 years teaching, a master, experienced teacher, Hafiz of Sahih Bukhari. And he is saying, "No, I won't even reach the level of his feet if I became his student." From this, he himself said, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman is Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. And as I mentioned earlier in my bayan, Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers. This is why when the great Imam, when he would go on Hajj, and hundreds of thousands of ulama from different parts of the world would gather in Makkah and Medina, they would come to the great Imam. They would come and ask him questions, and they would come and take permission from him to pass hadith on. This is called sanad, the chain of narration. And you take permission from the scholar. You read a hadith and he gives you permission. Big ulama and scholars from all around the world, the Arab ulama, different ulama from different parts of the world would come to the great Imam. They would ask him different questions. They would take ijazah from him. They would take permission from the great Imam to pass and convey on the hadith. So this was the expertise and the vast study of the great Imam, that when they did a research on 350 of his books, they realized he's quoted 10,000 ahadith. When they went back and sourced its original reference, it came back to 400 books of hadith. And that was a research only carried out on 350 books of the Imam. Yet the great Imam, he wrote over 1,000 books of ahadith. And then when the great Imam was asked questions on different topics, and he would respond, he wouldn't just give one, two answers or one, two references. He would write massive books as an answer, referencing the verses of the Quran, referencing the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, the great Imam, he was asked regarding the ruling of sajdah ta'zimi. What is sajdah ta'zimi? One is sajdah of ibadat, when we do sajdah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sajdah of worship. One is sajdah ta'zimi. Sajdah ta'zimi is there's no intention of worshipping, but you want to do sajdah for respect, for ta'zim. So he was asked, "What is the ruling on this?" And he said, "This is forbidden. It's not permissible. It's not allowed in the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." But he didn't just give a simple answer. To back up his answer, he proved it from the Quranic verses, and he gave 40 hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not one, not two, not three, but 40 hadith. He was asked regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people call the Prophet Dafi'ul Bala. What does Dafi'ul Bala mean? Dafi'ul Bala means the one who removes and repels and takes away the difficulties of people. That is this permissible for the Prophet to be called Dafi'ul Bala? Some people say only Allah is Dafi'ul Bala. Can we say the Prophet is also the remover of difficulties? When the great Imam talked about this topic, he didn't mention one, two hadith. He gave 300 hadith to prove that just the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes difficulties by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also removes the difficulties of people.
300 ahadith, not one, not two, not 10, not 20. He gave 300 hadith to prove that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dafi'ul bala. He was asked, how are the angels created? When he wrote on this subject, he gave 24 hadith to prove that the angels are created from light, they are created from nur. When he was asked about on the day of judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will he intercede for his ummah? When he wrote about this subject, he gave 40 ahadith to prove the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede seed for his ummah on the day of judgment. When he was asked regarding the importance of the beard and the length of the beard, and he backed it up and he proved it by writing almost 56 ahadith regarding the topic of the beard. When he was asked about the rights of the parents and he gave hadith, he gave 91 hadith to prove the rights of the parents. This was the great study of the great imam. This was his expertise, his level in hadith, that when he would give an answer on any question, he wouldn't just give one answer, two answers, one hadith, two hadith. No, he would give 100, 200 ahadith. From this we can understand why the ulama of his time, they gave him the rank of Amirul Mu'mineen fil hadith. Alhamdulillah, we are lucky that we are followers of this great imam. We have love for this great imam, because it is this great imam upheld and protected the true teachings of the Ahli Sunnati wal Jama'ah. He protected the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we claim that we are Sunnis. We claim that we love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's not wrong to say that that love, a lot of that love that we have for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have taken it from the great imam, from his teachings, from his poetry. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to stay firm upon the path of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me if I made any mistakes in my bayan. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyil ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Glorious in every corner of the world, for the sake of